Good morning, and welcome to this Latare Sunday as we rejoice in anticipation of Easter. It's kind of a mini oasis in our Lenten trek, I guess you could say. I woke up unusually early this morning, especially considering the spring forward cheat you out of an hour of your weekend time change. So I got up. And I prayed the office, and I just sat in the presence of the Lord and thought of today's gospel. I said, I love you, Jesus. And in my heart, I heard his reply, I love you too. Then I said, I know you do. And then I felt as though Jesus said in a hearty, chuckling tone, yes, I know. You know I love you, but you don't know how much I love you. You don't know how much I love you. I immediately thought of my grandchildren, Jack, Lila, and Ashlyn. They affectionately love me with their hugs and their kisses, their laughter, and all the games that we play. But really, they can't comprehend the full scope of how much they are loved. Kids tend to take things for granted and can't see the practical love and care that they are given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Those of you who have attended the prayer around the cross on Good Friday evening may recall one of our choral selections that we regularly do. There is a green hill far away without a city wall where Christ the Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. And on a green hill far away, he shed his precious blood. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us. He hung and suffered there. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Because of the boundless, infinite love and mercy of our God, the Father sent Jesus into the world not to condemn us, but to save us. He was lifted up on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. He was lifted up from the tomb in his glorious resurrection, and he was lifted up to heaven in his triumphant ascension for us. And this is the great news. He has come to lift all of us up to those, that is, those who would receive him, adopting us and bestowing on us the noble title, sons and daughters of God. But there's a problem, a big problem. Many, too many, have rejected this invitation of God's love. It reads in the gospel, men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. More and more, I have become convinced that the objections to following Jesus and embracing the faith for most people are not intellectual, they're moral. Many, it seems, avoid Christ and his church only to retreat to their comfort zones where the light is dimmer and easier on the eyes. This comfort zone is also a potential barrier for believers who perhaps have plateaued and have become somewhat calloused, tolerating little sins. Raymond Brown, the great biblical scholar, wrote in his commentary on the Gospel of John on today's reading, the very presence of Jesus in the world is a judgment in the sense that it provokes men to judge themselves by deciding either for Jesus or against him. Jesus brings out what a man really is and the real nature of his life. Jesus is a penetrating light that provokes judgment by making it apparent what a man is. A few months ago, my wife and I were in the thick of painting our new home, which required a lot of prep. We drywall tape, compound, filling, spackling, sanding, and so on. And you know the drill if you've done a lot of painting. And I was really getting excited about this paint job, thinking it was looking great. And I was painting at nights, usually, using a regular lamp, which seemed to be just fine. But the next day, in the fullness of the daylight, I noticed a few trouble spots. So I went out and I got this dual 500-watt halogen lamp with a stand and put it in the room. When I started looking at the walls, I thought, oh my goodness. Under that light, I was shocked to see the pits, the chips, the irregular surfaces, and the walls looked more like a topographical map of Kentucky. So much for our evaluation of our works. Lent, of course, is a time for us to deepen our relationship with God and examine our lives through prayer and penance. It is a humbling thing to examine our lives in the light of Jesus. But if we do open up our lives to the penetrating, powerful love of Jesus, we will find that he looks upon us not to shame us or to condemn, but rather to extend his mercy, forgiveness, and healing. God bless you all on the rest of our Lenten journey to Easter.